Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going through this book verse by verse. I'd like to read verses 11 to 13. Ephesians 2, 11 to 13. The scripture declares, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Let's pray together. Our Father, again we thank you this evening for this precious time to be able to assemble ourselves together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, worship in spirit and in truth. I thank you that you've given us this opportunity. May the word be blessed to our understanding. And Lord, I pray, have mercy, calling out according to your will and purpose, your people that you've everlastingly loved. Comfort us, help us to worship. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. Amen. The Apostle Paul was ever mindful to set forth, according to the inspiration of God's Spirit, that salvation is totally by the grace and the mercy of God. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." We ever need to be reminded that we have absolutely no part in our salvation. We have no part in it. Salvation is by grace. We have no part, no works. Hold your finger. Turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Romans 11, 6. Romans 11, chapter 6 says this, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." What the apostle is saying here, salvation is by the grace of God and it's not by works. If it has anything to do with your effort or your input, if any part you say, "Well, my belief is what saved me." No. Belief is the evidence. It's the effect of salvation by the grace of God. God saves His people. He regenerates His people and gives them faith to believe. Our belief does not save us, because our belief then would be our work. So grace has nothing to do with works, is what he said. Now he says, "If by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." What he's saying is this: if it's by grace, then you didn't do anything for it. If you did something, "I got saved because I walked down the aisle." That's work. I got saved. That's a term, you know. I got saved. I got saved because I was baptized. That's works. I got saved because I prayed through. That's works. I got saved because I spoke in tongues. That's works. Men interpret grace as being an offer that Almighty God graciously gives. It's an offer. He gives salvation if you'll take it, but it's by the grace of God. No, that's not grace. Grace is God Almighty doing something for you that you, A, could not do for yourself and would not. I use the example of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Saul was not looking for the Lord. God finds his people, his eternally loved elect. He finds them when it pleases him. He knows where they are. He's always known them. And he calls them out of darkness, gives them a new heart, gives them faith to believe, teaches them through the gospel what he's done for them by grace. So the Apostle Paul always reminds us, and we need to hear that again. Faith cometh by hearing. I need to hear again, Cheryl, again and again and again. Why? Because I'm prone to forget. The Apostle Paul said, for me to say the same things to you is not grievous. I had somebody say of me that I said the same things. They said, he says the same things over and over and over. May the Lord help me to never say anything differently. I don't want to say anything differently. I want to preach Christ in all these scriptures. There is one message. There's one message. And I'm not looking for something new by the grace of God. So Almighty God moves upon the Apostle Paul to set forth, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I will, and you will too. We will boast. If we think we've done something, I want some attention. By nature, that's what I want, some attention. I want you to brag on me. I want you to tell me how good I've been. I want you to tell me what a good job I've done. So, therefore, we're his workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not good works that we did for salvation, but the effect of. You know, we looked at that. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. Now, let's look at verses 11 to 13. Wherefore, remember. Remember. That ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now, Paul is speaking to Gentiles. It's the church at Ephesus. There were Ephesians. They were not Jews. And he tells them, I want you to remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now, they were still Gentiles after the Lord converted them. They were still Gentiles as far as being from a country or a nation that was not Israel. They were still Gentiles, but he's saying that they were Gentiles in a fleshly nature. Gentiles in heart, Gentiles in mind, desiring those things of the flesh. You were Gentiles in the flesh, walking after the flesh, doing the works of the flesh, and thinking in a fleshly way. They were Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. The apostle was telling the Ephesians, he said, there was a time when you, not only in nature, were you fleshly in mind and nature, but you carried in the lack of the mark of God's people. The Lord had given Abraham the mark of circumcision. And therefore, because you were not circumcised naturally, physically, You were called by those who are called themselves the circumcision. You were called an unclean thing. That's what you were called. That's what he's saying. You were called that which is unclean. That was a time when you were alienated from them. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. At that verse 12, he said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, he said there was a time that you, being separated. The circumcision and the uncircumcision didn't have anything to do with each other. He said there was a time that you were without Christ. That is, without a knowledge of Him. Without an interest in Him. Now I want us to just stop here for just a few minutes and just consider that which He said, that ye at that time were without Christ. Without Christ. There's not a person that doesn't have some type of a knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. When an unbeliever hears without Christ, they naturally are going to go back to either, they're going to either appeal to some religious exercise that they did, they gave their heart to the Lord, or they're going to think within themselves, well, that God can't be a tyrant. He's not going to throw everybody in hell. So I know this. I believe in Jesus. And as we've looked at so many times, demons believe in the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Apostle Paul is setting forth that, remember that there was a time that you were without Christ, that means that you had no personal saving knowledge of Him. This is life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now, for a believer, there is no greater plague of the mind. There is no greater misery. There's no greater state of being in that miserable plague than to consider that I would be without Christ. Now, before I was converted, before you were converted, you that know Him, you didn't care. You had no interest whatsoever. Now, you that know Him, think of the attitude of those that you know that don't know Him. They don't care. There's no interest in Him. They are without Christ and without a care for Christ. No love for Christ. I mean, I can't imagine. I could be without health. I could be without money. I could be without a home. I could be without a friend. I could be without respect. But you that believe, to be without Christ, there is no greater poverty. To be without Christ is the foundation of all misery. That's the bottom line. If you want, what is all misery built upon? Being without Christ. And man by nature doesn't know it. When Almighty God in His mercy and grace and power crossed our paths and took hold of us by His mighty blessed Spirit, and we heard Him through the preaching of the gospel, then we knew that before we were without Christ. To be without Christ, that's what he said. Now, at that time you were without Christ. To be without Christ is to be without God. When I say to be found in Him as opposed to be without Christ, that'll be the extremes right here. One of them is being found in Him, to know Him. The other is to be without Him. To be without Christ is to be without a saving knowledge, number one, of myself. A man that is found in Christ knows something about himself. You remember the two that went in the temple to pray? Two men went in the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, one was a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I'm thankful that I'm not as other men are. I'm not like everybody else. I'm a good man. I'm a good man. I tithe twice a week. You know, I'm not like this publican over here. That lowlife scoundrel that steals and skims off, that lying, cheating. I'm not like him. I'm a good man. And the publican would not so much as even lift up his eyes to heaven, but prayed thus, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You want to know something about a man or a woman that knows something of who God is? They know something about who they are. A man, a woman that is without Christ is without God. He's without a saving knowledge of who God the Father is, the electing God. He's without a knowledge of the Son, the redeeming, particular redeeming God. Without the Spirit, the effectual, powerful Spirit of God that calls God's elect. A man that is without Christ knows nothing of God's covenant. He knows nothing of God's power because he thinks he got some. A man that's without Christ thinks that he's able. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, reconciling the world, Jew and Gentile. Again, these scriptures that men will take, they say, well, you said there it is, reconciling the world. He had to have loved everybody. You cannot bear that out in Scripture. Reconciling the world, Jew and Gentile. All the world, without exception, Jew and Gentile. Not everyone in particular. Unto himself. How? By not imputing their trespasses unto them. A believer knows that he's a sinner. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm the chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, Paul said. I'm chief. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore, we know that he must have had a sheep given him. If he laid down his life for his sheep, he's borne their guilt. Therefore, the sheep have no guilt to bear. They have guilt. They have guilt. There's not a sheep, there's not a believer that will not admit, I am a sinner. But he doesn't bear the guilt of it. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Charge him with it. Now that's a blessing. I know, listen, it is a great burden to a believer. It's a great burden to a believer to see the very presence of sin. To see the presence of it. And I see the presence of it. And you do too. You see it in yourself. You see it in yourself. Every believer, I mean, you struggle every day because you see the inability that you have to not sin. I don't want to, and I do. But thanks be unto God that He has revealed to me by His Holy Spirit that I don't bear the guilt of it. Oh, bless God that He has borne my guilt and put it away. That he doesn't charge me with it. To be without Christ is to be without God. To be without Christ is to be without life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And to be without life is to be dead. That's the only alternative. To be without Christ is to be without any light. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know why men and women do not understand nor love the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace? Because the Lord has not shined in their heart to give the light of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Almighty God gives a man a new heart, he'll see. He'll see. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was deaf, now I hear. A believer hears and sees and loves the gospel of Christ because he's in him, regenerated. To be without Christ is to be without salvation. Remember, we studied last week, Simeon in Luke 2. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant, your bond slave, depart in peace, forgiven. Remember that? According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Psalm 98:3. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. All men, not all without exception. I had somebody tell me one time, we were speaking, I wasn't preaching, and I was like I just did. I qualified. Anytime I say, all ends of the world, I'm gonna qualify it. He told me, he said, you don't have to qualify that every time you say it. And I said, well, I do, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I want to be absolutely clear concerning the glorious gospel of God's grace. To be without Christ is to be without righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Without him, without his righteousness imputed to me, then I tell you what I'm clothed with. The filthy rags of self-righteousness. There's only two righteousnesses. It's either the righteousness of God or the righteousness of filthy rags. To be without Christ is to be without a fit and accepted righteousness before God. To be without Christ is to be without hope. No man, John 14:6 again, cometh unto the Father but by me. Not by my will, not by my works, not by blood. I'm talking about the blood of man. Men are born not by blood, being without Christ. Now Paul continues telling them, but remember, verse 12. But at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Aliens, outsiders from the commonwealth of Israel. Salvation was sent to the Jews first. You know that. And Gentiles were alienated. They were kept out. They were unclean. They couldn't eat with, converse with, worship with. They couldn't join in the hearing of the reading of scriptures. They could not worship God in the God-ordained, prescribed manners. And worship was found primarily where God Almighty permitted it. I say primarily because there were instances when the Lord did call out some Gentiles. But primarily, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Those covenants of promise that was given by Almighty God. Covenants. Go back and read what God Almighty said to Abraham, to Israel, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Noah. Now you think about this covenant. I was thinking about it just when I saw Noah's name there. God looked and saw that every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was evil continually. Without Christ, without life, without God Almighty giving me a new heart, there's one thing that I have in my heart: evil, continually. Without Him, there's no good there. There's nothing. That Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Contrary to popular belief, there is not a little good in all people. There's not. There's none good. And as we considered a moment ago, we were without hope of any life beyond this life. There was no hope, no promise of mercy, no compassion, no peace with God. Can you imagine without Christ? Only a believer knows something, and he grieves over his inability to thank the Lord as he ought. How often do I think on that? I think of that one scripture that I've told you so many times. Lord, if you marked iniquity, Lord, if you marked it, if you charged me with it, who could stand? If Almighty God were to look on me apart from the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, I am without hope, without God in this world. They say it's not that men are without any knowledge, but they have no saving, personal, regenerating knowledge of Almighty God. It's not that they're not without religion. It's not without morality or self-righteous works. They're without God in this world. They don't know Him in Christ. They know nothing of the Father's mercy, of the Son's power to save, Holy Spirit. There's no hunger for true righteousness. There's no desire for the hearing of the truth of the gospel. Man by nature does not love this truth. The truth. The glorious truth that gives all the honor and all the glory and all the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Before, verse 12, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, no hope, without God in the world, but now. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. But now. That's what I entitled this message, but now. What beautiful words. But now, in Christ Jesus, put there by grace, kept there by grace, forever in Him by grace and power, sealed by the Spirit of God, marked by God. When I say a seal, I've told you that, it's like that wax, and they take a sip. And there's the seal. There's the imprint right there. Marked, sealed by the Spirit of God. And they know, believers know, at being found in the Lord Jesus Christ, they know something about God Almighty showing mercy and compassion to whomsoever He will. And they say in their hearts, Lord, thank you. Thank you for having mercy upon me. They know something about the experience of regeneration. They know something by faith of being crucified with Him, about being raised with Him from the dead. And now, truly, according to the Scriptures, I don't understand this. I'll tell you so many times, I'm so far over my head right here. I can't even imagine how far I am. But I know this according to the Scriptures. Romans 8, 28, 29, 30. You go back and read this. That right now, being found in Him, where He is, His people are. Being found in Him, where He is, they are. Glorified with Him. But I'm in this world right now. I know that. But according to Scriptures, when He died, they died. When He was buried, they were buried. When He rose, they rose. When He ascended, they ascended. When He was seated, they were seated. He being glorified, they're glorified in Him. Romans 8:30. I don't understand it all. But I said this, the glorious mystery of godliness, that God Almighty would put His people, and as Brother Scott always said, where God put them, that's where He kept them. That's a comfort. Comforting. Ye who were far off, sometimes far off, made near to God, accepted. How? By the blood of Christ. Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Only a believer knows that there was a time when he was far off. A believer knows that there was a time that he didn't know God. I heard somebody say that, I've always been saved. And Brother Henry said one time, well, that's just a little bit too long. That's just a little bit too long. They were far off. I think about that prodigal son that the Scripture said wasted all of his wealth, all of his inheritance, wasted it all, riotous living. Scripture says he came to himself. There's a picture of regeneration. You know, he came to himself. What did he realize first thing? I'm eating husk. I'm eating swine's husk. I'm separated. I'm separated from my father's house. There's servants that eat better than I do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell my daddy exactly what I've done. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I've done it before you. And he rehearsed that, and the Scripture says, and he started going back, and his daddy saw him a great way off. How far did Almighty God see us? We were a great way off, but He ever saw us. I ever knew you, ever loved you, ever desired you, and purposed, not going to let you perish. Not the ones I've eternally loved. Not the ones I've chosen in my Son. All that the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me. And you've been made nigh. He made you nigh. You didn't make yourself nigh. You didn't bring yourself back. It was His blood made nigh by the blood of Christ. His blood satisfied the law's demand for justice. And you think about what you could not do. Could you have ever satisfied the law's demand? How about satisfy the law's demand for justice? You die without Christ and you'll never satisfy the law's demand for justice. You will eternally be separated by His blood, by one sacrifice for sin. He hath perfected forever. them that are sanctified, set apart. His blood has atoned for our sins, covered. By His blood, peace with God has been established. Peace with God and peace in my heart. Peace within my heart by the blood of Christ. His blood, by which we're justified before God, pardon is procured, and reconciliation is made. How? By the blood of Christ. The blood that answered. His blood, by which we're said in Revelation 7:14 to be washed white. Washed white in His blood. Salvation is by the grace of God. It's not of works. We would boast. We were aliens. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were without Christ. Without hope. Without God. Without salvation. Without light. Without peace. But now. By the grace of God, we've been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.